Ready for season two? Good. I should just mention in this episode that although I've bleeped most of the words that would cause any problem with Apple or certain sensitive foreign countries, there still remain some tier two sort of words, and this episode is about what you might call a sort of dirty topic. I overslept again this morning, here in my house in Atlanta. The Admiral has installed blackout curtains in the bedroom. And although I'm all for blocking out noise at night, the darkness confuses me in the morning. I might get up at 6, and as soon as I discover my mistake, I'll get back in bed. Or I might get up at 9 or 10. I've asked the Admiral if she wouldn't prefer leaving the curtains open so I can wake up naturally.
That's better.
But she's not having it.
I don't think so.
I like to get a solid 8 hours of sleep. In fact, I think it's an important part of a captain's healthy regime. But I don't want 10 hours, unless there's been some sort of beverage situation the night before. Things are so different at home than aboard J.C. Sales. At home, we have a toilet, actually 3 of them, that work with a single press of a lever, and in which you can actually safely dispose of toilet paper. We have a washer and dryer of our own. We have a 4-burner stove that never runs out of gas. We have a blender and a food processor, a full-size refrigerator, hair dryers, a gas fireplace, a disposal, a frisbee-shaped vacuum that scours the room on its own, trash pickup, grocery delivery. But there's something about being aboard the boat. Compared to my terrestrial routine, I usually arise a bit earlier when I'm aboard J.C. Sales, for a variety of reasons. In the wintertime, it gets dark as early as 5:30, so by 9:30, it definitely feels like time for bed.
Well, after a long day on the water, we're going to call it at 8:45 tonight. Does that mean I'm old?
What time I wake up is determined by a lot of things, like how many beers or frozen drinks I may have had the previous night. Or in the winter months, one particular thing. As I lay in the quarter berth, I can hear the shrill complaint of an osprey. There are several of these imposing creatures in the marina. They like to perch atop sailboat masts and watch for prey. At 3 or 4 pounds, they don't get along well with the masthead wind instruments. Also, they tend to drop remnants of their prey onto whatever's below. They seem to frequent the same boats, and I'm glad not to have one of these magnificent animals aboard J.C. Sales. Water birds sound so much more abrasive than their woodland counterparts. Here come a platoon of green parakeets, by far the most jarring with their shrieking. But they are not the most numerous. From somewhere south, from whatever hellish place they spend the night, come first one company, then another, of grackles. Little blackbirds, their chatter has all the charm of 1,000 squeaky hinges. They light on the diagonal fore and backstays of the sailboats until they resemble some kind of Christmas tree for Edgar Allan Poe. As one grackle jumps into the line, the others below abruptly shift down one at a time like a weird bird train. The lines of grackles grow, but in a minute they won't be alone. Now come the crows. If I'm planning to sail anywhere in public or with the Admiral, there's only one choice. Be on deck immediately and slap the halyard against the mast to shoo them off. Because if the main purpose of this congregation is to have a morning chat, their secondary occupation is on whatever's below them. Sometimes you can hear it. For example, when one of the little defecates one of the berries he's eaten in its mostly intact and undigested form. Many of these pellets find their way into the small scuppers and combine with regular bird to create a poop plug, as it were, which ensures the scuppers won't drain, which means standing water on the deck, which means rot. Sticking the hose nozzle into the scupper from the top doesn't work, so I end up reaching down around the lifelines and sticking the nozzle into the bottom end of the scupper where it comes out of the hull. This is the perfect way to get a face full of bird shit water when the clog suddenly dislodges. According to my book on bird facts, crows are one of the most intelligent birds and can not only recognize faces and remember a positive or negative interaction, but also communicate that information to other crows. One of my surreptitious fantasies is to catch one of these crows, hold it down, and give him the same treatment he's been giving my boat. "Now go tell your friends," I'd say. Of course, if I'm not headed anywhere soon, or if I'm about to leave the boat, the question becomes, should I bother with the birds at all? They're just going to be back to congregating and s***ing as soon as I'm gone. Another thing is, my gel coat on the cabin top is turning to powder after years in the sun, and every washdown sends a subtle white sheen into the marina water. If you sit in the cockpit these days, you'll come away with a white bottom or a white stripe on the back of your sweater. JC Sales needs as few scrub downs as possible right now. You want some kind of Zen acceptance challenge? This is it. Try to lie in your bunk as the birds crap all over your pride and joy. I don't know if this is a local phenomenon or a Florida phenomenon or what. It's definitely a winter thing. My friend John says, "Hey, birds fly south." In that case, I'd like to send these Yankee carpetbaggers back to where they came from. Sadly, we're prohibited from shooting them. I think the crows might learn after taking a few casualties, but I guess the grackles would still show up by the battalion. So, I guess I have to get used to it. Eventually, though, like a daily spring, the crows and grackles start to move north and inland, first to the trees along 29th Avenue, then on toward whatever else they plan to crap on today. A few crows remain. I can't be bothered with these all day. If I shoo a couple off my mast, they'll more or less stay on the neighboring boats. Sorry, captains. Every season in Southwest Florida has its pluses and minuses. Wait, strike that. Spring and fall are the pluses, and summer and winter are the minuses. Summer is insufferable heat and humidity, with massive daily thunderstorms and the occasional hurricane. Winter spares us the daily storms, but we get the birds. But I suppose there's a positive here. The birds keep the maddening crowd away from the marina, which, by the way, now that I think about it, is an awful place. Don't come here. The birds are terrible for those two or three winter months, and the summer heat and thunderstorms, forget about it. I don't even know why I keep the boat here. I must be crazy. Anyway, at some point, right about this time of year, after the birds stop off at the marina and crap all over everything, for some reason, most of them will keep going, keep flying north, stopping to decorate our driveway and fence in Atlanta, filling the trees along the creek with their sounds, which has to really annoy the local songbirds, before moving along to whatever northern lands they commandeer for the summer. But until then, there's nothing quite as rewarding as motoring out of the marina and into Boca Ciega Bay soon after dawn, just as the Black Horde sails into the marina for their morning muster. Ha! Missed me this time, bitches. I told you it was going to be a dirty topic. What's your favorite bird poop story? Or maybe you have some advice for everybody on how to keep the little buggers away. Let us know in the comments at hownottosail.com/21. You can also find a great poem about bird poop there from our friend Debbie. Not Fuel Dock Debbie, but the other Debbie. Please let me know what you think of this episode and the other ones going forward in Season 2, because we're going to be trying some different stuff. You can hit me up in the comments for each episode, or you can email me at bradford@hownottosail.com, or find me on the private Facebook group at hownottosail.com/community, or on Twitter at hownottosail, or whatever floats your boat, so to speak. Thanks to Cody and his wonderful daughter for the new knife. We don't mention any miners' names here without permission, but that was super thoughtful. Thanks to our awesome Patreon patrons for helping keep How Not to Sail afloat. If you'd like to join the crew, just go to hownottosail.com/Patreon. And thanks to Latitudes and Attitudes for ruining my life. Why not let them ruin yours today, too, at latsats.com. Major gratitude to Crazy Math Lady, Spontaneity, Harry EOD, and Kurt WPK for the nice 5-star reviews and kind words on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate you. And as always, thank you for listening. Remember to stay away from the crunchy bits, as Captain Pete would say, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
I don't think so.